Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, that sounds not quite yet, is it? But hey, oh, it's that time of year. I know that there's a lot of Christmas parties, a lot of functions going on, a lot of things happening. But I want to talk to you this morning about two ladies, Mary and Elizabeth, and Zechariah, to some degree, just to get into the Christmas spirit a little bit. The title of my message is actually, Nothing is Impossible with God. Say it with me, nothing is impossible with God. I hit the search button on my computer, which I only actually found just the other day. I didn't realize there was such a thing. I'm a little bit backward in these things. And so I've been having lots of fun. it's true. Anyway, I hit the search button on my computer, and I was actually looking for something. And in the process, my eyes caught the attention of something I had said a long time ago back in our old facility. Just give me your hands if you were in the old building. Just keep them up for a minute. About 30% of the congregation here this morning. Thank you. Feels such a long time ago now, doesn't it? And it was when we moved from the East Randall Football Club to our lease facility on the corner of Hampton and Ray Avenue in the year 2000. And this is what I said. This is what I said to the congregation at the time, which was probably about 50 odd people. It may not seem like it now, but we will own our own facility in Fremantle. I know this. This is in the year 2000. I know this because God has shown me. We will have a facility which we own and will become debt-free. We didn't have any money in the bank or anything in the year 2000. It was like an impossibility. But I want to use that this morning to show, and perhaps you're fairly new to our church, this is our facility, including the childcare centre. We own 4,000 square metres of prime real estate, 500 metres from the beach. Yeah. We're not debt-free yet, but that's going to happen. Have you ever found that God speaks to you at times when in the natural it just doesn't seem possible? Have a look at this passage of scripture, Luke 1:28. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. God has decided to bless you. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's four exclamation marks. There's not a lot of exclamation marks actually in the Bible, but in this passage, there are just about every time it's spoken, there's an exclamation mark. What do we know about exclamation marks? They're exciting, it's important, it's kind of like, listen up, guys. Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. God has decided to bless you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. There are key moments in your life where God wants to produce a miracle. But the miracle itself has as much to do with you if it's going to transpire. I want to look this morning at my first point about being highly favored. Who knows here that you are highly favored? You are a highly favored person. You have Jesus Christ in your life, you are highly favored. God loves his people. We are highly favored through our relationship with God. And I want you to know today that just like Mary was highly favored, you and I are highly favored. And this passage is a prophetic picture from our own walk with God. And just as Mary took a hold of the word of God, so you and I can take a hold of those moments we have with God and create a greater picture of our future because we engage our faith. This morning, at Christmas time. We need to engage our faith, do we not? Just to get through this busy period, we need to engage our faith. We need to engage with our God. And you do not want to miss one of these moments in God, because they are a catalyst for transforming your world. God has a moment for you, and there's lots of moments where God wants to speak to us. How many times, I don't know about you, but I've missed it because I just haven't listened or I'm too busy. So this morning, there's a story. Standing up around 50 people 12 years ago, knowing we only had $15,000 in the bank. Not enough to buy a building of this nature. Valued back then, they had it on the market for $2.1 million. Now worth around five, we think, close to 5 million. We were surviving back then, but we certainly weren't prospering. It was a bit scary. I wasn't on a permanent salary. I was 2 days a week. But when I look back now, I am glad I said it. See, we have made history, and that is what God wants to do over and over again in our lives, if we will allow him to. He wants to make history with us. And there have always been several times in my life where I know God has spoken to me, and I'm sure it's the same with you, but I've thought it's just too far out of it. It's not possible. And I wonder now, at Andrew and my own personal world, if we'd gone ahead with some things, but you know what? You can't hold on to that stuff. You've got to let it go. You've got to move on. But gee, all those moments that God speaks to us, if we would listen. There's no point crying over spilt milk, though. But we can make a decision in our hearts from this time forward that we will get to know him. And we'll get to know him more and more. And that we'll increase our relationship with him. And we'll listen to his voice. So I want this morning for us to look at the story of Zechariah for a little while. The passage we're looking at today begins with Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, who was the minister. He was the priest in the temple. And one day while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, God has heard your prayers. He's an old man. This is what the angel said to him. It was the angel of God. In his older years, said to him, God has heard your prayers, and your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby boy, and you are to name him John. To be John the Baptist. However, Zechariah took the view that he was too old. Zechariah took the view that Elizabeth, his wife, was past it. Have you seen her lately, God? And he concluded that it simply was not possible. Him and his wife, I'm guessing, had given up praying for a child by now. But God had not forgotten their prayers. And you and I can come to church and be a servant in his house, do all the right things, but still not be engaged in our faith with God. And the angel, before he leaves Zechariah, says these words to him. My words will certainly come true at the proper time. Luke 1:20. My words will certainly come true at the proper time. You know, you can hold on to God's word. Everybody, you can hold on to God's word. You can hold on to the promises of God. And it may not seem like there's any hope, but you just keep holding on, because you don't know the circumstances that God's going to provide for you that are out of the ordinary. Just keep holding on to what you know God wants you to do. It's going to be okay. So whatever kind of year you've had this year, it's going to be okay when you hold on to God's word. When God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. But in Zechariah's case, because of his unbelief, God made him mute. Not forever, just for a season. And because he was going to put a downer on the son that Elizabeth, his wife, was going to produce, I'm God, I can do this, so I'm going to just make him mute so that she can't say any more negative stuff. Some of us would love to do that right now, wouldn't we? Some of us, you know, you know, no, we're not like that, are we? Because you know, highly favoured people, like Mary and Elizabeth, take on board the thing God speaks to them, it changes their perspective and future life. Who'd like a better and brighter perspective? Is it just me? Who'd like, come on, seriously, you want a brighter future? You want a better perspective on life? Hang in there with God. Get in relationship with God and hang with people that are going to build you up in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow the enemy to take you away to and be alone for any moment of time that's longer than just a few hours if you're in a depressive state. You need people to say you're okay. You need people in your life to say, you know what, you're going to be all right. It's going to be, you can get through this. We need each other. We need connect groups. And most of all, we need our relationship with God so that when we're with people, we can gain faith again. I'm not saying we don't have moments where we just can't see a future. I'm saying we can have those moments, but they shouldn't last forever and ever and ever. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. This is Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. I am willing to accept whatever he wants. Who thinks that's a great verse for here and now? I am willing to accept whatever he wants. I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept his word, and I will stop questioning it. I am the Lord's servant and recognize the Holy Spirit wants to invade my life for my own benefit and the benefit of others around me. I am the Lord's servant, and when I pray to him, I am highly favored. He hears my every prayer, and he will send the best he has to make those requests come to pass. This is the angel Gabriel. This is the big dude. This is the one. He comes and says, what are you questioning me? He says to Zechariah at one point. Are you thinking straight, buddy? We're highly favored people, and God wants to visit us. God wants to come and meet with us. Second, allow the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. Acts 1:8. When you engage your faith in God, you engage the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to his disciples towards the end of his life on earth these words. So he's still with them, but he's about to go. And I think it's John 14, somewhere around there it says this. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. Guys, did you hear that? He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is our ears, our eyes to the spiritual realm, the realm God wants us to live in to be highly effective. So if we are going to be highly favored people, we need to have a relationship with God, yeah? Because if we want to allow the Holy Spirit onto our life, we've got to engage with God. The supernatural world that we can be blessed by, and as being a seed of Abraham, like I spoke of earlier, and to receive not only financial reward, but all kinds of things, including healing, including resurrection life, including forgetting things that really have caused us a lot of grief. All is because we allow ourselves to be filled over and over again with the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to invade your world? The Holy Spirit is our ears. Holy Spirit's our eyes to the spiritual realm. But the realm God wants us to live in, it's the realm God wants us to live in to be highly effective for him. We got more to do on this earth than just survive. We've got work to do that is kingdom work. Oh, I'm so excited. I was just talking to Doug before the service just about Africa and Sarah Wilcox, just about Africa. And just, you know, I'm excited about it because it's kind of like, we're doing something that's just really, it's out there and God's done it, not us. It's so incredible. And when I think about all the things that we do and all the people that God has connected us together here in this house, only God could do this thing. It's a God thing. And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit onto our lives. We've got to allow His love to come upon us so we can accept one another, do we not? See, whilst I was on staff at C3 Hepburn Heights, I was never paid there, but I was on staff as a volunteer, at least one day a week. I was part of the leadership team for the Toronto Blessing. Randy Clark and some of those that from the Toronto period of time back in the late 70s, they came out to Churchland Senior High School with John McElroy, John Finkeldy, and there was a few other pastors, and we all got together and had these, I can't remember the name of it, I think it was Holy Spirit Fire, something like that. Back in the 70s, we had all these different names. And I was on that team. And I remember one night after we were part of the prayer team, one night actually flat on my back, and John asked me this question at the time, Pastor John Finkeldy, who's a mentor of mine now. And I ended up just actually on my back cycling, a little bit unusual, but I was on my back and cycling. And I saw a city. And in that city, I saw it was dark, but it's starting to turn. Some of the light was coming back. Some of the buildings, they were dark, but then I'd see lights come on. And as I was cycled, I don't know if it was just a few minutes, I think it was. And I remember John asking me what happened. I just said, well, I'm not really sure. But I know now that God had put a vision into my heart for the future, and that the city was this city, and that it was turning from darkness to get brighter, and that we were a part of that. So God does things, and sometimes we don't understand what those things are, but we've got to trust that God is up to something when we have a specific situation or word that comes into our life. Those meetings were electric with the power of God. What I did not know then, that He was giving us a picture of our future. Future you now in all enjoy. The Message Bible says this in the passage in John. I am giving you the same work to do I have been doing, but even greater things. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am, and what I am doing, I'll do it. Well, that's a good promise. I'll do it. The Holy Spirit came upon me. He picked up on my heart and transported me forward to a picture of what would be. I didn't understand it all, but that's okay. We rest on those things. We don't tell everybody everything about what happens. We wait and see what God does. And what was it the angel of God said to Mary? Oh, come on. What was it that the angel of God said to Mary? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible for me. Faith treasures what the Lord places on our hearts. Wise to keep some things inside your heart, as I've said, for the right time. In prayerful consideration until God is able to reveal His plan. But in the process of time, don't be a Zechariah and doubt God, because His plans are sure to come to pass. His plans are going to come to pass in your life. See, what Zechariah was saying went against that. John the Baptist came onto the scene from Elizabeth, and thousands came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, believe and speak what God says. Believe and speak what God says. You know, when we have moments in our service, when we pray, or when I ask you to speak out, we should be speaking out. Why? Because it's going to build your faith when you speak out. We need to be speaking out more and trusting God. If we trust God, we should be speaking out. Church, if we trust God, what do we got to do? Speak out. If we trust God, what are we going to do? We've got to speak out. We've got to give him something to work with. What's in your heart? It comes out. So give him something to work with. Lord, I'm going to trust you today. Lord, I'm going to put my faith in you today. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to speak to my neighbor, Father God, and we're going to start a conversation. And Lord, if there's opportunities there, I'm going to invite him to one of our Christmas services, whether it be December 16 next weekend. How good is that going to be? December 23, 24. Anytime next year. But you know, how do we do that? Because we've created something with our mouth. There's faith on our lips. Believe and speak what God says. So trust God. Today, we can trust God. Second, allow the Holy Spirit. I think I've got, yeah, there it is. Allow the Holy Spirit to come on them. Engage your faith and speak his word into being. See, highly favored people allow the Holy Spirit to come upon them, engage their faith, speaking his word into being. In the middle of a big problem, God is bigger than anything else. But if you're not, you've got to engage. You see how important this is, because if you're in the middle of a big problem and you've forgotten to engage way back when you forgot you're highly favored because you're not in relationship, it's going to make it all the more difficult to get back and recognize that God is for you. See, I don't know what was going on in Zechariah as well, but he was obviously doing his duties but had forgotten the power and the immensity and the enormity of his God. And Mary and Zechariah both had big problems, analytically and naturally. Mary had not slept with Joseph. How were they going to have a baby? Pretty big problem. Elizabeth was past childbearing age. One chose to accept God's word, one chose to disbelieve God. And when God spoke to me back in the year 2000, when I was up on top of a hill overlooking, we used to live opposite a golf course, the Fremantle Golf Course, and I was up there praying. It was an extremely big problem, even considering purchasing land in one of the most expensive suburbs in Perth, but God saw before I saw. And God saw what was to be for Elizabeth and Mary. They chose to hear him. And you have a choice whether to activate faith or become a useless servant like Zechariah. That's what he became. Go home and when you get your voice back, you know. I am sure we all have seasons just like him. I know I do. I'm not saying our life is just, whoa, 100%, yep. We're going to have seasons. But you know what? We know how to kick back into gear. We know how to get back right with God. We know how to actually engage, because we're still in relationship. Sure, it might not be working out so well right at the moment, but hey, I'm still going to read my word. I'm still going to love God. It's not his fault. I've done some dumb things in my life. Well, you have too, haven't you? So you have a choice whether to activate faith or become a useless servant. I don't want any useless. Do you want to? Let's be, if we're going to say we love God, let's not be useless. So Mary went and visited Elizabeth. Well, she believed God. She goes, you know what? I've got to see this. And it was even prophesied that before John was even born, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as Mary came, who was now filled with the Son of God, and laid hands on the womb of, in fact, let's put it up. The baby leapt in her womb full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. This is what they said. This is what Elizabeth said to Mary, in fact. You're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. See, prophecy and vision for your future comes from being highly favored. How do we get highly favored? Because we decide to trust God. Will you trust God today? Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations that you're facing, just simply say, you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'll just trust you. I can't see with my own eyes the future, but I will trust you. Be Holy Spirit engaged. So that when you have a relationship with God, you allow the Holy, you allow yourself those moments where the Holy Spirit can engage. So that when, like Mary was saying for her friend John, a relative, the other day, the power of God can transfer because you are engaged with the Holy Spirit. And then speak out in faith. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I can't see the future. Be honest with him. He's okay with that. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You know the desires of my heart. I will trust you. Church, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Why don't we stand for a moment, just bow our heads. Maybe today you've allowed too many voices. Far too many voices other than God speak into your life. You've allowed other people to speak into your world that maybe don't have faith. Will you get back to trusting God today? Trust God. Maybe you've been like Zechariah, completely unbelieving that his word is true. Just trust God again.